Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Look, when it comes to footy here in Australia, we have some rabid fans, some very passionate fans. I know you love the Dragons.
Yep.
You know, you're a diehard Dragons fan.
James with his
the demons.
I reckon he probably has a tattoo.
Yeah.
Or something.
I know, like when baby Sadie was born, she was like wrapped up in a little demon scarf and beanie and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, AFL, it's like a religion in Victoria.
Yep.
And Damon Mueller, he is a longtime Carlton fan. Like, it started for Damon way back in the year 1999, where his beloved Carlton Blues were playing Collingwood. Yeah, okay. No judgment here. Yeah, we know how everyone feels about Collingwood. But, Damon remembers being 12 years old and catching this game.
I remember watching that and I just fell in love instantly. He was a big Italian full forward and I was a little Italian full forward at the time. So it was just affinity with him straight away.
That's Damon talking about Brendan Favola.
I never made the connection that he was Italian.
Doesn't it make sense? 12-year-old Damon saw Brendan Favola in that Carlton Collingwood game and go, he's my idol. I want to be like Fev when I grow up. Always idolised Brendan Favola, even when he made the switch to Brisbane.
I'll never forget the day when he actually got traded to Brisbane. I remember being at work, I found out, and just being devastated. Asking my boss for a 15-minute break, I had to just sit outside and console myself and then get used to watching him wearing Brisbane, which was a bit hard.
So, hello, boss, can I have 2 days off for bereavement leave? I want to mourn the loss, Carlton's loss of Fev. So even to this day, Damon still loves Fev, even though Brendan Favola doesn't play anymore. He's like a radio announcer down in Melbourne. But regardless of that, Damon has shown his support for Fev by getting a tattoo on his leg. And you're thinking, okay, maybe it's Fev's name, maybe it's Fev's face. No, it's a QR code.
Now it's got to the point where he's had this QR code tattooed on his leg. That code takes you straight to a highlights package of the great man himself.
If he kicks this, it's 8 goals in a half of footy. He's done it!
So I like how you use the QR codes to check in during the pandemic. You can scan Damon's tat and it will take you to a YouTube video showing all the highlights from Brendan Favola's career on the footy field. And I'm glad it's not the highlights from Fev's, you know.
Yeah, from off-field antics.
Yeah, when he was like hosting the Brownlows, you know. I'm glad it's not those highlights.
Is this dedication or laziness? You've just saved yourself one extra click by getting the QR code.
I know. Well, I always think, like, what happens if they take that YouTube video down? How many times have you gone to watch a video and says, this has been removed?
Exactly.
Like, you can't watch it in your country and things like that. How do you think Rach would go if you got a tat, like a QR code tat showing the highlights of like the Dragons?
Well, there wouldn't be many the last couple of years. No, it wouldn't be on YouTube. It'd be that long ago.
Yeah. Well, obviously Damon loves his tattoo. His wife, though, not so sure.
Probably a bit bigger than she thought, which kind of made a surprise her, but I've got quite a few tattoos and they're all, most of them are a bit questionable anyway, so I think she might be used to it by now.
Oh my God, he's in form, isn't he?
Parenting's easy when you're Damon's wife. You just go, don't do what your dad does. Like, see that tattoo? Don't do that. Footy fans getting QR code tattoos these days. Apparently that's now a thing. Not just footy fans, though. I've heard that fans of the Liberal Party have already got QR code tattoos of this famous player.
Scott Morrison crash tackling a young boy as a rough election campaign charges into the final stretch.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
The PM's squeezing the last bit of juice out of the campaign before the big election on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, they're at their most vulnerable always, as we've seen the last probably, I'd say, 30 years, when they have to attend a sporting event or some sort of opening of a new oval and they're playing sport with the kiddies.
Well, unfortunately, our Prime Minister, not the best on the tools. We saw what happens when he tries to do a bit of welding.
Exactly right.
So, hopefully he's a bit better at sport. He's a big Sharkies fan.
Yeah.
Loves the Cronulla Sharks in the NRL.
Let's take you back to former Prime Ministers. We had Bob Hawke, who copped a bouncer in the face while he was wearing glasses and it cut him open back in the day.
Yeah.
We had John Howard trying to bowl a cricket ball over in India, country of billions of people.
He's like the only Aussie playing cricket where you go, you know what, underarm bowling's okay. You can do that.
Can't get out first ball. Underarm can bounce four times, one hand, one bounce. Different rules for that guy. But yes, ScoMo has continued that trend while in Tasmania. are basically linking up with the Devonport Strikers under 8s team in Tassie because they were promoting some upgrades to the Oval.
All right.
And, you know, ScoMo's there. He flicks the tie over the shoulder, plays a bit of soccer with the kids. But unfortunately, he's made headlines because basically he crash tackles an 8-year-old called Lucas.
Yeah, I saw this.
Poor little Lucas. He probably got up that morning. His parents were like, "You're going to meet the Prime Minister today?" "Yeah, I'm excited." Ate his cereal. Couldn't predict what happened next.
No.
Here's a bit of a dramatisation to give you an idea of what exactly happened on the soccer field.
Back to the 20. Look at this. Oh, there's a collision.
Looks like he just changes his mind there. Wooshka. Is that a tooth? Did you see that fly out?
I did.
What?
He sent him off.
Yeah. It's not the fact that, you know, it's not that our Prime Minister confused football with rugby league. Like, maybe he said, someone said, "Oh, we're playing football." He goes, "All right." Yeah. It's like, it's full contact. He ran into this kid, this Lucas, and he sort of rolls with him to try and not crush him because he's a full-grown man and this is an 8-year-old. And so it looks like he tackles the kid. I think the worst part was when ScoMo tried to pull a penalty afterwards.
Oh, yeah, he's rolled like around.
Rolling around on the ground.
Yeah, got a red card for that performance. But you say it was an accident, but as a matter of fact, I've managed to slow it right down, and this is some audio of it actually happening as it unfolded. Have a listen.
"Out of the way, kid. Sharkies forever. No, ScoMo, no.
Yeah, so you be the judge, you know. Slowed it right down. It sounds like he was a bit too much in the zone. We know he's an avid Sharkies fan. Maybe he was just, you know, had fins up and was just seeing that as the opposition,
just
the Raiders
for
or something.
It, maybe.
So, obviously, online people are having a bit of laugh about this. Obviously, when you look at it, it's purely accidental. But I'll tell you what, there's a few tweets coming through. There was one from Boris Johnson which said, "Nice hit, mate."
All right.
He's got a bit of experience in this. I think he borrowed some little 10-year-old kid a couple of years ago as well.
When I saw it, first thing I thought was, like, if only he could tackle the housing crisis as well. that'd be great.
So he did obviously apologise to the kid's family, you know what I mean? Maybe he's paying their health insurance for the next couple of years after he puts the premiums up and he stays in, who knows? But it's actually attracting a bit of criticism, though, what happened directly after the incident when the cameras were off. But there was someone who managed to get a bit of footage of exactly how it all unfolded directly after the kid was knocked down.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, have a listen to this.
Ah! Ah! Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
It's not my job to do that.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Normally when they have these cycling races, it's the spectators that manage to get in the way of the riders and they end up getting hurt. There's a big stack. But not in the case at the Giro d'Italia, Biniam Girmay. He became the first black African to win on any of the three Grand Tours. He claimed stage 10 of the Giro d'Italia just yesterday. So, huge moment for him. And, of course, on the podium, he was celebrating with champagne. They had a magnum of champagne.
Beauty.
Giant bottle of bubbly that obviously Biniam was expecting to pop the cork off and spray his fellow competitors
it's
with.
It's tradition.
Unfortunately for him, he was struggling a little bit with the cork. So, and those champagne magnums are huge. They're quite heavy.
Yeah.
And he was exhausted from riding. So he put the bottle on the ground.
Yeah, good.
And he bent over the top of it to undo the cork.
Okay.
So he's basically staring straight down the barrel of this bottle of champagne, and this is what happened next.
He's finished so far in the Giro second, fourth, fifth, fourth, fifth, and now first. And yes, he got it. He's the one-eyed Biniam Girmay. That's a shit. That must have hurt. That probably clonked him in the eye. I hope he's all right. He's all right. Oh. Is he all right? He's all right. I think he is. I hope so.
No, he's not all right. The champagne cork, which has been measured to travel at speeds of 80 kilometres an hour, popped out of the bottle and hit Biniam straight in his left eye. And he was like just clutching his left eye going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is why we should celebrate with cask wine.
Yes.
This would never happen with a box of Goon.
This poor guy obviously can tell he doesn't win much because everyone knows once you're about to shake up and pop the champagne, you aim it at the loser, the person in third
position,
because just to smite them even more, to say, I am better than you.
The chance of taking it at your competition with the cork,
exactly
maybe.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, he's bent over looking directly quickly at the cork. Like at home, if we ever have a bottle of champagne to celebrate something, it's like we're in the Hurt Locker. Like we're disarming a bomb. You're like, you're carefully edging the cork out, aiming it away from everybody. Yeah. I think it was the first time he had to pop the cork on a bottle of champagne by the looks of it.
If anyone hasn't seen it, it reminds me of when, back in the day when you could purchase fireworks and someone's like, oh, I'm not sure if it's gone out. Let me just walk over and have a look. Oh, that's a good idea.
I mean, I know in cycling you have to wear the helmet for protection, but I think they all need to wear goggles as well now, just in case they win and they have to pop the champagne. So, yeah, poor old Binium. Not sure if he's going to be able to continue the race now. They're waiting to see what the doctors have to say about that. You know, his Lycra might be bright, but I don't think he's quite as bright. I mean, I'm just thankful he wasn't starting the race. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He's like, oh, I think something's clogging the barrel of my starter's pistol. Let me just check what's in there, you know? That could have ended real bad.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.